Campus Heartthrob. Written by Jennifer Suchevich. Narrated by Jennifer Blom and Michael Gallagher.
Chapter 1. Brayden.
Yo, Kendricks, grab me a cold one when you come back,
Asher Stevens yells as I walk into the kitchen. I give him a one-fingered salute to let him know that I heard him loud and clear. That guy drinks like it's his sole mission in life. By the time he graduates college this spring, he'll be in desperate need of a liver transplant. Although, I've got to give him credit. He's at the top of his game on the field. I have no idea how he does it. It's one of the great mysteries in life that I've stopped trying to unravel. With a yank, I open the refrigerator door and scan the shelves. What I find is a depressing sight. Other than a shit ton of beer and Gatorade, it looks more like a barren wasteland. Bunch of fuckers. Don't these guys realize that we live half a mile from the nearest grocery store? Hell, with a few taps on their phone, groceries would magically appear outside the front door. We're all supposed to be pitching in with the domestic chores. One look around this place will tell you that isn't happening. The toilet on the first floor resembles a sketchy chia pet. Plus, it smells like the penguin house at the zoo. I avoid it at all costs. With a grumble, I pull out one of the last bottles of water and twist off the top before guzzling down a quarter of it. Then I grab a Miller Lite for Stevens. I've tried broaching the subject of his alcohol consumption a few times, but it's not like I'm his mom. The dude is 21 years old. He can do whatever the hell he wants. Carson, one of the other guys who lives here, saunters in as I slam the refrigerator door closed. Carson Roberts and I go way back. We're talking elementary school. He's practically part of the family. The brother I never had, but always wanted. He was there when I needed him, and got me through one of the toughest times in my life. Even at 21 years old, I realized that friends like that aren't easy to come by. Football is what we originally bonded over. We've been playing together since second grade. First, flag football, before moving on to a middle school team, and then high school. Luckily, we both ended up at the same college, and roomed together freshman and sophomore years before finding a house with a couple of teammates. Like me, Carson will enter the draft in the spring. He's one of the best tight ends in the conference and was an All-American last year. The guy is one smart motherfucker. Before I can open my mouth, he says, "Heads up, Kira just walked in." God damn it. A groan escapes from me. That girl takes crazy psycho stalker to a whole new level. It's almost as impressive as it is frightening. Scratch that, it's just plain frightening. There have been numerous times when I've come home afraid I'd find our pet rabbit boiling away on the stove. Just kidding, we don't have a bunny, but still, you get the point I'm trying to make. It's fucking scary. And she won't leave me alone. I've tried everything, going so far as to tell her that it's never going to happen between us. I mean, come on. Of course it's not going to happen. I've never even locked lips with this chick, and she shadows me around campus and turns up in my classes. I'm this close to taking out a restraining order. The girl needs to move on, or move away, preferably the latter. For the most part, I've enjoyed my time at Western University, but it'll be a relief to get the hell out of here after graduation. There's only so much of this crazy behavior I can put up with. Carson's shoulders shake with undisguised mirth. That's what you get for being so damn pretty. Fuck off, I mutter. Just because he's a good friend doesn't mean he won't give me shit. He shrugs. Hey, I've got an idea. Take her to bed and show her that you're not as amazing as she thinks you are. Aren't you notorious for your starfish impersonation? Again. Up yours. Not offended in the least. A smile breaks out across his face. You know what you need? I'm almost afraid to ask. My stoic silence doesn't stop him from continuing. A girlfriend. Is he nuts? No thanks, I snort. I have zero interest in one of those, especially right now. I've got enough going on with school and football. This is a big year for me. The season is underway, and so far, we're number one in the conference. The goal is to take home a championship and win a bowl game. That would be an amazing way to end my 4 years with the Wildcats. Then I can turn my attention to the NFL with the combine and draft in the spring. I'm serious, he says, pushing the subject. Yeah, that's the scary part. I shake my head, ready to put an end to this conversation. Over the years, there have been a few girlfriends. What I have discovered is that they're more of a hassle than they're worth. Division I football is more like a job, and my schedule is packed tight. My life revolves around practice, lifting, film review, travel, and games. Most of the chicks I've dated get bent out of shape when they aren't moved to the top of my priority list and end up forcing me to choose. Want to guess what gets downsized? I'll give you a hint. It's not football. After the first couple of times it happened, I decided having a permanent girl in my life wasn't worth the price of admission. Sure, it would be nice to find someone to spend time with, but that's just not in the cards. And quite frankly, I'm not sure it will be in the near future. Not with wrapping up my last year of school and hopefully getting picked up by the pros. It's just easier to screw around with the jersey chasers on campus. For the most part, they understand that sex is nothing more than an hour or so of mindless pleasure. They get to brag about banging guys on the team, and I get a little stress relief to take the edge off. Then Kira would have no choice but to leave you alone, he continues, as if I haven't already nixed the idea. Like I need to get myself entangled in one bad situation just to get out of another. What the hell would be the point of that? She should have backed off when I flat out told her that nothing was ever going to happen between us, I mutter. Again, if you weren't so pretty, girls wouldn't lose their damn minds over you. His lips curl around the edges before he tacks on slyly, Mr. Campus Heartthrob. I wince at the title I've won 3 years in a row. Talk about embarrassing. Sure, I'll admit it. I was flattered at first. Who wouldn't be? I got a ton of pussy by winning that stupid competition. My teammates were jealous, and I didn't mind rubbing it in their faces. As difficult as it is to imagine, screwing your way through all the girls vying to sleep with you gets old after a while. Now the damn thing is just a nuisance. Like I need these chicks trailing after me, following me around all over the place. Nope, I'm over it. Last year, I didn't enter the contest and still managed to win. How is that even possible? My lips flatten before I grumble. I prefer to think of it as ruggedly handsome. No dude wants to be called pretty. Please, he snorts. Your face could be plastered on a billboard. I'm surprised there aren't more crazies coming out of the woodwork just to sleep with you. Bite your tongue, I grunt. I don't even want to imagine that. I've got my hands full as it is. The last thing I need is to add more bullshit into the mix. I don't know, man. I think the girlfriend idea is worth considering. It could be the solution to all your problems. Or just give me more headaches. I shift my weight and take another drink from my bottle. There's only one flaw with your plan. There aren't any girls I'm even remotely interested in. His brows jerk together. Who said anything about this being a real situation? I'm talking about finding a friend who could pretend to like your ass for a couple of weeks. Someone who wouldn't mind doing you a solid. He tilts his head. Don't you know anyone like that who fits the bill? I suppose a ploy like that could work. Except, there aren't any females who I'm strictly friends with. Even the ones who pretend to be platonic end up throwing themselves at me at some point. And the ones who get all drunk at parties and start sobbing about how much they love me are the absolute worst. Not really, I shake my head. Any other bright ideas? He nods toward the back door. I guess you could always try to make a run for it. Lay low at Roan's girl's place for a couple of hours until Kira gets bored and finally takes off. Yeah. The last time I did that, she waited around for 5 hours. Let that sink in. 5 full hours. The woman is seriously tenacious. Must be part of the stalker job description. I turn the suggestion over in my head. Heading over to Demi's would give me a chance to see Sydney, and I rarely pass up an opportunity to do that. There's something about the blonde-haired, green-eyed soccer player that has gotten under my skin, kind of like an itch that is impossible to scratch. And steroids haven't done the trick to cure it either. If she's anywhere in the vicinity, my attention is locked on her. My guess is that it's because she refuses to give me the time of day. There's definitely something to that old adage about wanting what you can't have. What I can't have is Sydney. That girl wants nothing to do with me, which is precisely why I never miss an opportunity to mess with her. Trust me, I'm more than aware that I'm not doing myself any favors, but still, I get perverse satisfaction in provoking her ire. All I have to do is open my mouth, and she goes off the deep end. The girl has a real temper. I've seen it rear its head on more than one occasion. My guess is that she would be a real wildcat in the sack. Not that I'll be finding out anytime soon. Or, more than likely, ever. As tempting as it is to flee our house for the next couple of hours, I have a test to study for. I might have every intention of taking my game to the next level by getting drafted to the NFL, but it's still important I do well in school and leave with a degree in hand. Even the most talented players are only one career-ending injury away from being let go. I'm taking every precaution to make sure that my future goes off without a hitch, even if that means doing something other than playing professional football. So, ducking out of here isn't really a choice. I drag a hand through my hair and consider my options before blowing out a steady breath. All right, I'm going to need you to create a distraction so I can sneak upstairs without her noticing. A smirk curves Carson's lips as he folds his arms across his chest and leans against the counter. How am I supposed to do that? She's sitting in the living room with the perfect view of the front door and staircase. Christ, this girl. I shouldn't have to sneak around my own damn house. I don't know, I snap in frustration. Just think of something. I need about 20 seconds to get upstairs. It doesn't escape me that I'm taking out my aggravation on someone who doesn't deserve it, which isn't like me. But I'm over this situation. I want this girl to leave me alone. If I honestly thought sitting down and having yet another conversation with her would put an end to this infatuation, I'd do it in a heartbeat. But I've done that several times and she refuses to move on. It doesn't seem to matter that I'm not interested. He shakes his head as if I'm the crazy one for going to such lengths to avoid her. And I'll tell you what, I'm beginning to feel like it. I'll do my best, but I'm not making any promises. As soon as Carson exits the kitchen, I realize that we didn't come up with a code word. I almost leap after him, but stop myself at the last moment. Damn it. How am I supposed to know the coast is clear without a code word? I seriously can't believe this is what my life has come to. I'm skulking around my own house to avoid some chick. But what else can I do? Waste the next hour or so fighting off her unwanted advances? No way. I don't have time for that. Grumbling under my breath, I tiptoe across the kitchen like it's booby-trapped before arriving at the wide entryway that leads to the dining room. The only furniture in the space is a scarred table that has seen better days, more like better decades, and four chairs. Everyone is crammed together, chilling in the living room. The loud, rowdy babble of voices fills my ears. Just as I work up the courage to peek around the corner, Carson materializes on the other side. We both startle, and my heart slams against my ribcage. Fuck, dude. You nearly gave me a heart attack. I point to the living room. If he's with me, then who the hell is occupying Kira? Even more frighteningly, he might be drawing her attention in this direction. That's exactly what I don't need. What are you doing in here? It's not necessary, he says with a shrug. She's gone. No way. My brows shoot up at that unexpected bit of good news. Really? Well, hot damn. Looks like I've lucked out for once. Yeah, I did a total sweep of the first floor. She's not in the living room, and I checked both bathrooms. They're empty. She must have gotten bored and taken off. Huh. That was way easier than anticipated. All of my muscles loosened with relief. Until now, I hadn't realized how tense I'd become. Thanks, man. I slap Carson on the back. I owe you one. No worries. He shoots me a grin. I'll think of some way for you to repay me. Before I can respond, he swings around and strolls into the living room. I grab my bottle of water along with Asher's beer before following him. Once the beverage has been passed off, I do a cursory inspection of the immediate vicinity just to make sure Carson isn't fucking with me. Although, it's doubtful he would do that. We've been friends for way too long for that kind of bullshit. If there's one guy I trust, it's him. Rowan Michaels would be a close second. A quick scan of the room as I beeline to the staircase solidifies that Carson wasn't yanking my chain. Kira is nowhere to be seen. Carson is right about one thing. I need to do something about the situation before it spirals any further out of control. I refuse to spend the rest of senior year looking over my shoulder and avoiding my own house. I need that chick to understand that we are never getting together. At this point, there's no way we can even be friends. Kendricks, where are you going? Crosby Rhodes shouts from his sprawled out position in an armchair. I flick my gaze at him. Like most of the other guys, he's surrounded by a handful of females. Being on the football team will get you all the chicks you could ask for. Having a lip ring and a sullen attitude will get you twice as many. Go figure. Got a test to study for, I call back, trudging up the steps. Come on, Kendricks, let me kick your ass in a little GTA, Easton adds from the couch he's stretched out on. It's a tempting offer, but still. If memory serves, aren't I the one who kicked yours the last time we played? I shoot back. Easton smirks before shoving his chestnut-colored hair out of his bright blue eyes. If I'm not mistaken, a few girls in the room sigh. Maybe. How about a rematch then? Sorry, not tonight. It might not seem like it, but I've never been a slouch in the partying department. Freshman year is nothing more than a blur. I spent most of it shit-faced, attempting to drown the grief that had been my constant companion. Big surprise, it didn't work. What did end up happening is that I almost flunked out of college and got my ass kicked off the football team. Coach Richards pulled me aside at the end of the season and told me that I had a choice to make. Either pull myself together or get the hell out of his program. I could do one or the other, but not both. That conversation had been a rude awakening, and it had been exactly what I needed to hear. The year before, I'd lost one of the most important people in my life. Losing football on top of it wasn't a choice I was willing to make. I returned home and dried out over the summer. I focused on working out in the gym and getting stronger so I could prove to Coach that he hadn't made a mistake in recruiting me. When I returned to Western for my sophomore year, I swapped out the alcohol for pussy. I guess if you can't drown your sorrows in beer, girls are a close second. Except, it doesn't actually solve anything or make your problems disappear. You just run the risk of an STI. Lame ass, Easton shouts after me. Knowing that I don't have anything to prove, the taunt slides easily off my back. My accomplishments and the records I've broken over the years speak for themselves. Yep. As I disappear onto the second floor, I swing right and pass by two doors before arriving at mine. Now that Kira is no longer a concern, my mind gravitates to the exam I need to cram for. I grab hold of the handle and push open the thick wood before crossing over the threshold. I probably have 3 solid hours of work ahead of me. After doing my damnedest to flunk out freshman year, it's taken a lot of focus and determination to raise my GPA. The fact that 2 years later, it's over a 3.0 is a source of pride for me. I'm jerked out of those thoughts by a noise as my gaze cuts to the queen-sized bed at the far end of the room and the naked girl lying on top of it. Hey, Brayden, Kira coos, shifting on the comforter as she spreads her legs wide. I've been waiting for you. Well, hell.
Chapter 2. Sydney. Are you absolutely sure that you can't squeeze me in? I plead, phone shoved against my ear as I search the union for my bestie. It's noon, and the place is packed with hungry students making a pit stop. Sorry, sweetie, if you had gotten hold of me a few days earlier, I might have been able to slide you in, but someone else beat you to it and booked the last of my free time. I just can't do it, Marco finishes. Damn, damn, damn. No worries, I say with forced lightness, before spotting Demi and Rowan camped out at a table in the corner. I'm sure I'll find someone else. Hopefully. I really am sorry, Sid. You know how much I love working with you. Marco has modeled for me several times throughout the years, and he's the absolute best. We usually end up laughing and joking around the entire time. Even though he can't see me do it, I wave a hand. Seriously, don't worry about it. I'll find another model. I've got time. Sort of. Okay, girl. Talk soon. Yep. I hit disconnect and drop onto the bench opposite them. Demi and Rowan have turned into one of those couples who sit on the same side of the table, even when they're alone. It's super barfy. As much as I'd like to roll my eyes, I can't. If anyone deserves happiness, it's Demi. Her last boyfriend put her through the ringer. The guy was a real jerk. Not only did she find him in a compromising situation with his pants around his ankles with one of our teammates, Annika, what a bitch, but he then proceeded to spread around campus that she was the one cheating on him. The only good to come out of that situation is that Rowan was finally able to win Demi over, and the rest is relationship history. As much as I hate to admit it, I'm a little jelly of what they have. My last relationship was a veritable roller coaster of emotions. High highs and low lows. It was a constant whirlwind of breakups and makeups before we finally pulled the plug and decided to go our separate ways. I can't say that the making up part wasn't a blast, but the constant bickering was exhausting. What I learned from that epic fail is that sometimes it's just not possible to make a relationship work, no matter how much you both want it. Ethan was a great guy, but we weren't meant for the long haul. The second thing I discovered? That I need to take a legit hiatus from men. Ethan wasn't my first breakup. I've had a long string of ill-fated relationships. I have a nasty habit of extracting myself from one disastrous situation only to dive headfirst into another. After the latest debacle, I'm taking a little time to get to know myself and figure out what I really want. And you know what? It's kind of nice. All right, the lack of sex isn't great. But other than that, I'm happy. Fine, if not entirely happy, then at least content. We'll just go with that. Anything less, and I would be venturing into pathetic territory, and I'm unwilling to go there. I don't need a man to be satisfied, and that's what I'm set on proving to myself once and for all. I'm perfectly content on my own. Except when I'm around these two lovebirds and all their obnoxious canoodling. They're seriously too cute for words. It makes me want to puke, or cry into a pint of Cherry Garcia. Rowan whispers something in Demi's ear, and a light blush blooms in her cheeks. I can just imagine what he's saying. Or promising. Ugh. See what I have to deal with? I'd be better off eating lunch by myself. All right, you two, I grumble. Break it up before I have to get out the hose. And contrary to popular belief, I will indeed hose these two off. Their sexual chemistry is enough to induce immaculate conception. Demi straightens before shoving Rowan back a couple of inches. Although, let's face it, he's not going far. The guy is completely enamored by her. I suspect it's been that way for years. There was once a time when Demi professed to hate her father's star quarterback and did everything in her power to avoid him. I have no idea how Rowan did it, but he managed to break through all her barriers, and now they're Western's most swoon-worthy couple. Hey, Demi greets. There's a breathless quality to her voice. What's up? She does her best to blink the sexual haze from her eyes before inspecting me with more care. That's a whole lot of unhappiness going on there, she says, pointing to the general vicinity of my face. It's nothing, I shrug, and attempt to downplay the desperateness flooding through me. I'm practically drowning in it. I need to find a male model for an art class project. Unfortunately for me, all of the usual suspects have been snapped up. My voice drops as I reluctantly admit, I should have done this weeks ago, but I was so bogged down with my accounting course. I've made a few calls, but everyone is booked up tight. No worries, Sid. I'll model for you, Rowan offers. How hard can it be to strike a pose? Looking robotic, he makes a few gestures with his hands. A genuine smile lifts my lips. Have I mentioned how much I adore Rowan? The first string QB is a real sweetheart. If he and Demi weren't so stinking cute together, I'd make a play for him myself. But the guy only has eyes for my bestie. Amusingly enough, everyone else could see that but her. I glance at my roommate before smirking at him. Why, thank you, Rowan. That would be incredibly helpful. You're cool with modeling in the buff, right? He blinks, blue eyes widening before he gives his girlfriend a bit of side eye. Her lips tremble around the edges. Like naked? He asks, shifting uncomfortably on the bench. Yep, we're talking full-on nudity. And you'll have to pose for at least a couple of hours so I can draw every inch of you. Oh. There's a pause as ruddy color rushes into his cheeks. Sorry, he mutters. I'm gonna have to retract my offer. There's only one girl who gets to see the goods. A gurgle of laughter escapes from me as Demi presses a kiss against his cheek. You're so adorable when you're embarrassed, she chuckles. She might be laughing, but it's doubtful she'd be cool with her hot boyfriend posing naked for me, even if it is for a school art project. Just as my phone lights up with an incoming call, a hard body slides into the booth next to me. I pounce on my cell, shooting a glance at the guy now invading my personal space, as his hip bumps into mine. Hello? My gaze becomes ensnared by Braden's dark one as I answer the call. He's way too close for comfort. I blink in attempt to focus on the conversation. It turns out to be another model who isn't able to sit for me. Crap. This is turning out to be more problematic than I assumed. I should have realized all the good ones would get snapped up. Honestly, I only meant to put it off for a week or two until a bigger chunk of my accounting project was completed and I could turn my attention to art. Except the class consumed more time than I thought, and now that I'm ready to get to work, everyone I normally partner with is otherwise engaged. Where are the procrastinators when you need them? Apparently, I'm the only one. When Braden's gaze takes a leisurely stroll of my body, I shoot him a dirty look before refocusing my attention on the call. Are you sure? I wheedle. I promise it'll only take 4 hours of your time, 5 at the most. You know how quickly I work. From the corner of my eye, I watch as Braden shifts toward me. The guy doesn't even attempt to disguise the fact that he's listening intently to my private conversation. I can practically feel the burn of his gaze. As much as I try to stifle it, a sizzle of awareness slides through me. It starts in my fingertips before gradually working its way through my body until it reaches my toes. My entire being feels electrified by his perusal. I lock my jaw and steel myself against the unwanted sensations coursing through me. If there's one guy on this campus that I refuse to be attracted to, it's Braden Kendricks. Unfortunately, someone needs to give that memo to my hormones. Anytime I'm around the guy, my body goes haywire. It takes effort to stomp out the flames attempting to ignite in my core. Barely do I hear the model on the other end of the phone explain that he's already working with two other art students and can't possibly take on anything more with his schedule. If I thought that pleading would change his mind, I would happily do it. I am not above groveling. It's a little disconcerting when I realize that I'm once again staring at Brayden, and that he's wearing his usual smirk. The one that makes me gnash my teeth every single time he flashes it my way. I force my gaze from the dark-haired football player and concentrate on the conversation at hand. No problem, I understand. I bite my lip before lowering my voice. Let me know if anything changes with your schedule. I'm kind of desperate here. That's the third model I've struck out with. As I hit disconnect, a disheartened breath escapes from my lips. When Brayden's knee bumps into mine, another unwanted sizzle of awareness shoots through me.
What was that about?
My gaze flickers in his direction before skittering away. I find it easier to hold a conversation with the guy if I don't have to stare at him for too long. He's not just good-looking, he's stupid pretty. We're talking chiseled cheekbones, long, Romanesque nose, broody mouth, dark eyes that feel like they can see straight down to your very soul. Perfectly tousled hair that begs female fingers to tunnel through it. And I haven't even mentioned his body. He's like a Greek god carved from marble. The artist in me would delight in sketching him, especially in the nude. Can you even imagine his sinewy musculature? It's for that very reason I refuse to go there. Plus, he irritates the crap out of me. Nothing, I mutter, wanting to shut down any further conversation. Had I realized Brayden would be gracing us with his presence, I would have politely declined the invitation and grabbed something to go. I refuse to spend any more time with him than absolutely necessary. It's bad enough that we're stuck together in a class and somehow got partnered up for our accounting project. Do you have any idea what that's been like? In a word, aggravating. Plus, with Demi dating one of his roommates, we're thrown together even more often than before. Avoidance has become impossible. Sure, he's charming as hell. I've watched him in action for the past 3 years. My conclusions on the subject are that he's nothing more than a fuckboy, and I have zero interest in getting caught up in that.
Sid needs a model for her art project.
Rowan pipes up rather unhelpfully when I remain silent. I narrow my eyes and shoot him an icy glare. He's well aware of my feelings for his friend and teammate. One side of his mouth hitches in response as he shrugs. Forget what I said earlier about Rowan being a sweetheart. He's the furthest thing from it.
Really?
Brayden says with interest.
Naked, Rowan adds. Well, I have to admit you had me at model.
There's a pause as he slides closer until all of the distance between us is swallowed up and he fills my entire line of sight.
Throw in naked? And I'm all yours, sweetheart.
Air gets clogged in my throat when I realize that I've become trapped in his predatory stare. Liquid heat pools in my core. It takes effort to tamp down my body's natural reaction as my palms flatten against the solid strength of his chest and I push him away. No, thanks. I make sure to add the right amount of contempt to my response. There's no way in hell I want Brayden to suspect that he can turn me on so easily. We're talking the flick of a switch. Before I could blink, he'd find a way to use that weakness against me, and I know exactly how he would do it. Even the thought is enough to make me break into a cold sweat.
You're not interested in drawing all this?
He does his best impersonation of Vanna White while waving a hand down his body. Nope. Yes, 100%. He's gorgeous. The guy didn't win Campus Heartthrob 3 straight years in a row for his uncanny likeness to the Hunchback of Notre Dame. He shrugs.
Your loss.
Probably. Hardly, I respond in a haughty tone.
If you can't get one of your models to do it, why not get your boyfriend?
Braden asks, settling against the seat. He stretches out until his arm can drape across the back of the wooden bench we're squeezed into.
Voila, problem solved.
Even though his fingers are gentle and barely rest against my skin, I feel his touch down to my bones. It's impossible to ignore. Every bit of my attention becomes centered on it. Why? Why him? Why does my body react to him like this? It's as irritating as it is disturbing. Demi's brows beetle together as she opens her mouth. Ethan is busy with baseball, I blurt before she can set him straight. He's not able to do it.
Hmm.
His gaze stays fixated on mine. It's as if everything around us ceases to exist. I feel trapped in place, like a butterfly pinned to a styrofoam board. All of the oxygen gets sucked from the atmosphere, making it impossible to breathe. His voice dips, turning raspy.
If you were my girlfriend, I wouldn't let some dude model naked for you. I'd be the only guy you were catching an eye full of.
Then it's lucky for me that I'm not your girlfriend, isn't it? Where that comment comes from, I have no idea, but I'm thankful for it. Verbally sparring with Braden comes second nature to me. I've had a ton of practice over the years. The humor filling his eyes drains away, leaving a steely glint in its place as we continue to stare. Just when it becomes almost too much to withstand, I force my gaze to Demi. Once my attention is focused elsewhere, the air rushes from my lungs in a burst. Questions fill her dark eyes. They're ones I don't necessarily want to answer. Braden doesn't need to know that Ethan and I broke up about a month ago. It's just easier if he assumes my ex-boyfriend is still in the picture. The guy hits on me all the time. I can't imagine how much more intense his attention would become if he realized I was single. It's not something I'm interested in discovering firsthand. So, he says, cutting into my thoughts and drawing my attention reluctantly back to him.
What time are we hooking up at the library tonight?
A change of topic is exactly what's needed. Even if it's this one. We are not hooking up, I growl. We're working on our project. With any luck, we can wrap it up so we no longer have to meet on a regular basis. I've had just about as much of Braden Kendricks as I can withstand for one semester. More like the rest of my life. The hard edge filling his eyes vanishes as he flashes me a grin.
Semantics, baby.
Ugh. I have no idea why Braden enjoys needling me, and I've stopped trying to figure it out. Avoidance seems to be the best tactic to employ with him, not that it's done me much good. After practice, I tell him, around 7, does that work? Honestly, it would be better if
I'll be there, ready and willing.
I huff out of breath. Yeah. That's exactly what I'm afraid of.
Chapter 3. Braden. Unable to help myself, I swipe my phone off the table for the 20th time and look at it before glancing around the third floor of the library. Sydney is nowhere to be found. She's 10 minutes late and counting. The realization that I'm being stood up flickers through my brain. even though we have work to plow through, I wouldn't put it past her to be a no-show. My ability to piss off the green-eyed soccer player is almost impressive. I have no idea what I did to Sydney to earn the number one position on her shit list. It's like she took an instant dislike to me, and nothing I've done has been able to turn that frown upside down. And I must be a glutton for punishment, because I'm unwilling to let it go. Another 3 minutes slowly tick by, and there's still no sign of her. It's official. I've been ditched. Hell, she's probably making out with her boyfriend somewhere. That thought is enough to piss me off more than I'd like to admit. Fucking Ethan. Those two are all wrong for each other. One day, they're together, and the next, all hell is breaking loose. I've stopped trying to keep tabs on their relationship status. It changes as often as the weather. Just when I think it's safe to swoop in for the kill, they're back on again and sucking face right in front of me. No, she needs a different kind of guy. Someone more like... I shake that thought loose. Just as I'm about to pack up my computer and get the hell out of here, Sydney drops onto the chair across from me. Her face is slightly flushed, and her hair is damp from her shower.
Sorry, she says by way of greeting. Practice ran over by about 20 minutes.
When her phone chimes with a message, she pulls it from her pocket before glancing at the screen and then setting it in front of her. As soon as it hits the table, I pounce.
Hey, what are you doing? Give that back!
Her voice escalates with each word that falls from her lips as she makes a swipe for the slim device, but I'm too stealthy and lean back in my chair. Unless she's going to dive across the table, she's not getting her hands on it until I'm done. With quick movements, I tap the home screen and access her phone app before punching in my number. When mine buzzes with an incoming call, I hit end and hand back the cell. She scowls and rips the electronic device from my fingers. If looks could kill, I'd be dead on the spot. Much to Sydney's chagrin, that doesn't occur. Now I have your digits, I say with a smirk.
Ever think that I didn't want you to have them?
She shoots back, upper lip curling with irritation. Yep, all the time. When I continue to smile, her lips tighten into a grim line. My guess is that she's on the verge of exploding. Less than 30 seconds in my presence, and she's ready to lose it. This might be an all-time record for me.
We should get to work, she finally grumbles. I've got other assignments to finish up tonight.
The grind never ends, I say lightly, because it's the truth. It's pressure I feel on a daily basis. My bet is that Sydney does as well. Being student athletes at Western University means that we need to be on top of our time management game. Most professors don't give a shit if you play a sport. For them, academics are the be-all, end-all. Truth. Her shoulders loosen, falling from the general vicinity of her ears. In silence, she pulls her computer from her backpack. Only now that I'm taking a closer look at Sydney's face do I notice the dark purple smudges decorating the fragile skin beneath her eyes. A rush of sympathy arrows through me. I shift in my chair, wondering if there's anything I can do to lighten her load. Even though I'm the last person on the face of this earth she would willingly accept help from, that doesn't mean I'm not going to offer. She might vehemently disagree, but I'm not a complete dick. If you've got other stuff to do, we can work on this another time. There are 2 more weeks before it needs to be turned in, and the bulk of the project is already finished. It's a surprise when her expression softens. Some of the lines of tension straining her face drain away as she shakes her head.
It's fine. We can put in a few hours here, and then I'll head home and study for my quiz.
With a nod, we delve straight in. We're looking at what causes financial instability among business giants. It's an interesting topic with plenty of material to pore over. Our biggest issue has been narrowing it down to our thesis statement. We could easily write a book on the subject. Hell, dozens of them have already been published on the issue. It's research-rich. It's vaguely that I recall ending up in the same section of an introductory accounting class with Sydney freshman year. This is the second course we've had together. To say it was a surprise to learn that she's an accounting major is an understatement. Her personality doesn't quite fit the stereotype, The girl is a real firecracker. I have a difficult time imagining her hunched over a desk, crunching numbers all by her lonesome for 16 hours a day during tax season. After about 2 hours of shoring up our research, I found a few more references that back up our assertion. With a stretch of my muscles, I glance up. That's all it takes for my gaze to fasten on the girl across from me. Her brows are furrowed in concentration as she pores over a document on her computer. For just a few moments, I'm able to study her while she's unaware of my perusal. If she realized what I was doing, the intensity would be replaced with a dark scowl. I don't think I've ever met a girl who was so hostile to my advances. Usually, I can charm the panties right off the opposite sex. That's not the case with this one. She's liable to bite my hand off if I even try. I've often wondered what it is about Sydney that has captured my interest so completely. She's pretty, with long blonde hair and vibrant green-colored eyes. They're almost the exact shade of freshly mowed grass. If you look closely enough, there's a delicate smattering of freckles across the bridge of her nose. She's probably around 5'6" with a tight, athletic body and muscular legs from years of kicking around a soccer ball. And her breasts. My gaze unconsciously drops to them. She's wearing a turquoise dry-fit t-shirt that hugs the roundness of her chest. Most guys are all about the tits and ass. The more curves, the better. I don't necessarily feel that way. Sure, I like breasts, what red-blooded, college-aged guy doesn't. But I don't need to be smothered to death by them when a chick is riding me. And yeah, there's been a few times when I thought asphyxiation was a genuine possibility. It wouldn't be a bad way to go, I'm just saying. But Sydney isn't built like that at all. Her breasts would be the perfect palmful. Not that I would know. As much as I'd like to find out for myself, that's not going to happen. The girl would probably take me out if I were to accidentally graze her boob. I'm still lamenting the fact that I'll never get my hands on her when movement from the corner of my eye catches my attention. Since we're camped out on the third floor of the library, there isn't much student traffic. It's quieter up here. People aren't constantly stopping by the table, wanting to shoot the shit about the football season and our chances of bringing home a conference championship. I have no problem talking about that, but not when I'm with Sydney. This is about as much alone time as I'm going to get with her, and I need to take advantage of it. My gaze flickers to the couple who has now settled at a table on the other side of the space. Wait a minute. Is that Sydney's boyfriend, Ethan? No way. I've known Ethan Price since freshman year. We lived on the same floor in the dorms. It's grudgingly that I'll admit he's a decent guy. He's not one of those boyfriends who conveniently forgets he's in a relationship when he's out with the bros. I've known plenty of dudes like that. Not only do they want their cake, but they want to devour it too. They want as much fucking cake as they can stuff in their pie holes. Ethan has never struck me as that type. So what the hell is he doing here with another chick? By this point, I'm craning my neck, watching them with open interest. Ethan hasn't even bothered to glance in our direction. He's focused on the tall brunette parked across from him. There's lots of smiling and laughing, a few touches here and there. My brows rise, recognizing flirty behavior when I see it. Is it possible that I'm jumping the gun here? Just because Ethan is at the library with a girl, it doesn't mean jack shit. Sydney and I are doing the same thing, and we're totally platonic. There is absolutely no flirting going on at all, much to my disappointment. Just as I'm about to disregard the situation as wishful thinking on my part and get back to work, Ethan leans across the table and plants a kiss on the girl's lips. One Mississippi, two Mississippi, three Mississippi, four, what the actual fuck? A kiss like that definitely constitutes cheating. And right out in the open at the damn library, no less? This guy is unfucking believable. I'm half tempted to stomp over there and knock him upside his head. Doesn't he realize that his girlfriend is sitting on the other side of the room? Sydney could swing around at any moment and see them making out. What a jackass. I'm knocked from those thoughts when the girl across from me clears her throat. My distracted attention slices to her.
Did you say something?
She asks. I certainly hope not. What to do? Yeah, I think we've plowed through enough for the night. We should probably head out so you can study for that quiz before it gets too late. I'm rambling, and it's not a good look for me. We can pick this back up tomorrow or whenever you have a couple of hours of free time. When she continues to stare like a horn has sprouted on my forehead, I slam my laptop closed. I want to get out of here before she catches sight of her cheating asshole of a boyfriend. Honestly, I should be delighted to point out what's going on behind her back. Literally. I know exactly how the situation would play out. She'd dump his ass in 2 minutes flat. Maybe then I'd have a real shot at fucking Sydney out of my system. Where she's concerned, I'm not picky. I'd be more than happy to be rebound sex. This chick has lingered in my thoughts for way too long. But still, as well as this situation could work out for me, I'm reluctant to take that approach. The last thing I want to do is hurt her. If her brows weren't pinched together to begin with, they're practically touching now.
You want to leave already? We've only been here for...
She glances at her phone.
2 hours, and there's still more to do.
I shrug as my gaze flickers in the couple's direction. Hopefully, they're no longer sucking face. Nope, they're still going at it like two cats in heat. Any moment, he's going to crawl across the table and mount her for all to see.
Brayden.
Impatience simmers in Sydney's voice. My gaze snaps back to hers. A frown tugs at the edges of her lips as she swings around and glances in the direction I've been staring. I know the moment she catches sight of them. Her muscles tense. Mine do as well, waiting to see how this situation will play out. I'm half expecting her to jump up, storm over there, and punch Ethan in the face before beating the crap out of the unlucky chick. If there's anyone who could do it, it's Sydney. She's not afraid to throw down. That probably shouldn't be so hot. Instead of doing exactly that, she calmly twists toward me on her chair. Her face has morphed into an expressionless mask. For the first time in 3 years, I have no idea what she's thinking. It's disconcerting, to say the least.
Let's get back to work, she murmurs.
Well, that's certainly not the reaction I was expecting. It takes a moment to find my voice. Correct me if I'm wrong, but isn't that your boyfriend over there? Not that I want to rub the situation in her face, but I need a little clarification as to what's going on. A long silence stretches between us as her teeth scrape against her lower lip. She mumbles something under her breath that I can't quite make out. I tilt my head and cup my ear. Sorry, I didn't catch that. What did you say? Hot color stings her cheeks as she repeats, "We broke up a month ago." I blink, my mind drifting back to our previous conversation at lunch. "But this afternoon, I said he was busy," she grumbles. "Not that we were together." My eyes narrow. "You know what that's called?" I don't give her time to respond. "Semantics. Why is this the first time I'm hearing about your breakup? A goddamn month later. A month." She jerks her shoulders and avoids all eye contact. I bet she's wishing she'd taken me up on my offer to get out of here.
"Because my personal life is none of your damn business."
Wanna bet? Whether Sydney realizes it or not, this bit of information changes everything between us. It's oh so tempting to rub my hands together with anticipation. Since I'm not in the mood to get punched in the face, I refrain. Just barely.
Chapter 4. Sydney. With the back of my head resting against the cool marble of the grave marker, I stare at the trees in the distance. By now they have lost all of their leaves, and the branches look strangely barren. The vast stretch of sky is a bright azure color as puffy, cotton-candy-looking clouds pass overhead. A warm October breeze wafts against my skin, as birds chirp and bees drone nearby, buzzing from one flower to another. They must have figured out that there's always an endless supply of fresh bouquets here. As much as I hate coming to the cemetery, I do it twice a month, like clockwork. Just like I have been for the past 4 years. I can't imagine what it would be like to stop. It would probably feel like a limb that had been freshly amputated. The phantom pain would serve as a perpetual reminder that something integral was missing from my life. It's not like I can't talk to my brother anywhere, but it always feels like he's with me when I'm sitting against his headstone. Almost like there's a direct line of communication between us. Even though the idea of him being buried 6 feet beneath the ground fills me with sadness, I think that's the reason I end up here. It's the last place I saw him before he was laid to rest. Is he resting now? Sometimes I wonder about that. It's a depressing thought. Peter was always so full of life and restless energy. He could make me smile against my will, and I loved him for it. Mom always joked that there was an invisible motor tied to his butt. He never stopped moving. My brother was 4 years older than me and graduated high school the year before I started as a freshman. Even though a handful of years separated us, we were close. Out of my four brothers, we had the most in common. It was his love for soccer that prompted me to pick up a ball and kick it around in the backyard. Even as a small child, I wanted to be exactly like him and attempted to emulate everything he did. Soccer is what we bonded over, and in the end, it's what got me through the pain of his loss. People say that time heals all wounds. I think it's a lie we tell ourselves to make it through the grief. The realization that it never gets easier would be too much to bear. Remember last time when I told you I thought Lucas had a girlfriend? I pause, as if waiting for him to pipe up with a response. Instead, the cemetery remains eerily silent. Turns out that my suspicions were right on the money. Mom swung by the Stop and Shop the other day to pick up some groceries, and there they were, in the checkout area, heads bent together, whispering to one another. A chuckle slides from my lips. You know, Mom, she took it upon herself to make introductions. Apparently the girl's name is Holly, and she lives with her parents. She just started working at the grocery store. Trust me when I say Mom got all the deets. Now that the cat is out of the bag, Lucas is talking about getting his own apartment so they can move in together. Mom is trying to hold him off until the summer, but he has a one-track mind. It's kind of cute. Kids, I murmur, picking out a blade of grass before folding it like an accordion. They grow up so dang fast. I share everything going on with the family and then in my own life. There's a natural ebb and flow to my voice. Sometimes I'll lapse into silence before picking up the thread of my previous conversation. I tell him about soccer, knowing he would take pride in my accomplishments. Peter died before he could graduate from college. It's disconcerting to realize that I'm now the same age as him when he passed away. Instead of dwelling on that uncomfortable thought, I fill him in on my classes. He's the only one I've told about my growing fears that accounting isn't the right career for me. Every day that passes, more doubts mushroom up until it feels like I'm being suffocated by them. Most of the time, I'm able to shove the uncertainties aside and ignore them. I've always had a good head for math. It comes easy to me, and accounting is the same way. Even though I excel in my classes, I don't particularly find pleasure in them. By the time I realized this, it seemed too late to backtrack and major in something else. If I want to graduate on time, then I need to stay the course. At this point, I'm hoping that I'm wrong, and once I start working, everything will fall into place. The prospect of ending up in a career that I hate for the rest of my life is a scary one. Once I get all my fears off my chest, the tension knotted in my shoulders loosens, and I can finally relax. My eyes close as bright sunlight pours down, warming my skin. Sitting against my brother's gravestone in the cemetery on such a gorgeous autumn afternoon feels wrong. The days I visit should be dark and gloomy, overcast with the threat of severe